You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In 2020, the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University found that just 2% of millennials have a biblical worldview. That's the lowest of any generation since surveys on the topic began. And according to a Lifeway research report, two-thirds of those who attend church as teenagers will drop out of church as adults. Simply put, many young people today leave the faith because they lack the necessary immunity from the bad ideas that are often taken for granted or outright promoted in our culture. Dr. William McGuire, a Yale psychology professor back in the 1950s, suggested that bad ideas behave kind of like viruses. Specifically, he thought that the more exposure one had to bad ideas, the less likely they would be to fall for those ideas later. McGuire tested his hypothesis by performing experiments in which he tried to convince subjects of lies, such as that brushing teeth is bad for them. Those who were given no preparation whatsoever for what they were about to hear were more easily convinced of the lie than those who were warned against a specific bad argument that they would hear. The group most vulnerable to falsehoods was not the one that had zero preparation, but actually the one who had merely had the truth reinforced to them. In other words, the subjects that were most easily deceived had been told things like, well, you know brushing your teeth is good for you. I mean, you've been taught this your whole life. When they subsequently then heard arguments that they'd never heard before against brushing their teeth, well, that group felt sheltered, even deceived. The least vulnerable group were those who had not only been warned against a bad argument that they would hear, but they had also been taught how to respond. They had been warned that they could hear additional bad arguments, and they needed to be aware and vigilant. Now, one thing we can learn from McGuire's experiment is that the method that many Christian parents and churches are using to pass on the faith to the next generation, reinforcement without taking counter ideas seriously, well, that's the one most vulnerable to failure, especially in high pressure environments, you know, like universities. It also means that we don't have to give kids all the answers, but that they do need to be aware of the battle over ideas, and they have to be ready to think for themselves. This requires that they're given a framework, a way of responding to bad ideas thoughtfully and confidently. And that is exactly what Dr. Jeff Myers and the team over at Summit Ministries has been doing for students and with students for decades now. Not only does Summit know how to immunize students against bad ideas by taking students seriously, the ideas seriously, and preparing students to defend their faith, but Summit helps students apply the truth claims of Christianity to every area of their life. The results of Summit training are measurable and impressive. An independent 2020 survey of Summit alumni showed that before attending a student conference, only about 40% felt able to defend their faith. After attending, that number skyrocketed to 90%. Chuck Colson once called Summit Ministries a gold standard for training young adults in Christian worldview, and I agree. In fact, I personally witnessed the transformation that God brings through a Summit Ministries two-week student conference. They're held this year at Covenant College in Georgia and at the Summit headquarters in Manitou Springs, Colorado. They fill up fast, so you need to check them out quickly. At these events, young people are given a Christian worldview about topics like abortion, doubt, deconstruction, evolution, gender identity, God's existence, sexuality, and more. If you know a student who needs to attend a Summit conference this summer, visit summit.org/breakpoint. That's summit.org/breakpoint. And if you use the code breakpoint 24, when you register, you'll get $200 off. The numbers speak for themselves. Passing on a Christian worldview to our kids requires more than just telling them the truth. It requires us to help them love the truth and to gain the kind of spiritual immunity they need against those infectious bad ideas. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Shane Morris. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to ColsonCenter.org.
Today on The Winning Walk, with Dr. Ed Young.
Let me tell you something, parents. When parents vie, compete with one another in the family, they undercut one another with children and others, how deadly that is to a marriage. How deadly that is. Favoritism is many times at the root of it. We learn that favoritism in the family is always disastrous. Favoritism in the family always leads to heartbreak.
The truth is, favoritism can tear families apart. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message called Deception, where he shares practical wisdom from the story of Jacob and Esau to help you guard against habits that can harm your family. Before we get to today's message, we want to help you discover all that God has in store for you in this new year by sending you the one-year chronological Bible with books, chapters, and verses placed in historical order as the events actually happened. This Bible gives you a powerful new perspective of the overarching story of Scripture. We'll send you the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2024 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter, now known as X. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Deception.
I knew a young family that lived in a suburban area of Atlanta, Georgia. He had a job in a corporation with great future, three children, super wife, active in the church. One night, he was in bed with his wife, and they began to debate about the condition of their marriage. In the process, she confessed to her husband that she was having an affair with their dentist. He exploded, jumped out of bed, went to the closet, got his shotgun, loaded it. She was hysterical, screaming, shouting, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going to kill him." And he storms down the stairs. She calls 911. He gets in the car. He sort of comes to his senses, gets out of the car, walks back up the steps, puts the shotgun back in the closet. By that time, the police had come. To make a long, tragic, short story short, he lost his marriage, lost his children, lost his job. Now he had a criminal record. He was totally confused, disoriented, until I heard just a few months back that suddenly, with seemingly little warning, he died. He told me following this tragic event over the telephone, he said, "I went back and I timed the amount it took for me to get out of bed, get the shotgun, go down to the car, come to my senses, walk back upstairs, put the shotgun back up." He said it was 6 minutes, just 6 minutes. And he said, "That 6 minutes totally changed my life and every area." He said, "I can't tell you how I would love to go back and have that 6 minutes over again." How do you define a life? His life was defined not by the past or what happened after. It was defined by just a little 6 minute period. How do we interpret history? Some of you know I got back from Israel a few months ago. Over in Israel, they have what they call tells. They're little hills that are not made by God. They are ruins of civilizations, cities that have been built on top of cities, on top of cities, on top of cities, and you have these tells, and archaeologists go in there and they cut a trench down the middle of them, and they can read the layers, and they can tell The Armenians were here, the Romans were here, the Greeks were here by the garbage and the ruins and by the potsherds, the pottery, and they could date and they can totally replay the history of that site and that region by reading those layers that are piled up there over thousands and thousands of years. That's how they read history in the past. How do you interpret your life? If I stood somebody up and tell me the story of your life, where would you begin? How would you interpret who you are, where you've been, what your present is, what your past? We can do it many ways. We can do it by our name, where we live. We can do it in a lot of different genres, approach to telling your life story or my life story. We've been reading, most of us, through the Bible. And we have read, if you are up to date with our chronological reading, we've already read through the life of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And as you are reading the story of these three patriarchs, have you ever seen a more corrupt family in your life? Incest, murder, polygamy, undercutting, lying. I mean, where do you find a family like this? I mean, it is just unbelievable. Did you just read it slick kind of through and say, well, this is the Bible? Isn't that amazing? Amazing. And why is this there? Why did God in His Word decide to open up and to cut a trench right through the life of these Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why did He cut a trench through their life? Why did He reveal so much about them? And sometimes you read about incest or about rape, and you say, you know, why God put that in there? I mean, good night. I mean, these are famous names. Abraham, Isaac, my goodness. You see, God doesn't pull any punches, does He? And when He tells the story of a life, He does it all the way through the Bible. You read the Old Testament with maybe the exception of Joseph. Oh, well, he was a spoiled brat and a megalomaniac. He was young. I forgot that. Maybe Daniel looks pretty good. But look at all the rest of the Old Testament guys and gals. And boy, I'm telling you, you get a pretty mixed bag, do you not, if you read the Bible? What is this all about? It's about God's progressive revelation, working through history, working through human beings, working out His wonderful, beautiful plan of salvation that's available to you and to me today. And we look and we study now Jacob. Now there's a guy. By definition, his name means slick. It does. Deceiver. Usurper. Con artist. Robert Redford would not have got the part in The Sting because Jacob could have played himself. What a low-down, dirty, rotten scandal he was, and he lived up to his name. So we're going to excavate Jacob. By the way, we see these personalities not just to understand the Bible and history. We see and study their lives, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and speaks to me and gives us warning and insight as we see how God works all the way through history. And it is a wake-up call for us, a moment of truth for us. And now we look at Jacob. And we're going to look at his life through just four different places in which he stayed, sometime for a short time, sometime for a long time. And perhaps if you were telling the story of your life, you'd say, well, when I lived there. We can do that with Jake. We won't go all the way through his life because we want to take a nap this afternoon. But we'll look at four stations and see what we learn from the life of Jacob. First of all, we see him right at his birth. Look at that, if you would. Right at the beginning of his life. It reads, beginning in Genesis chapter number 25. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in the tents, and Isaac loved Esau because he ate of the game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Machpelah. We start off where Jacob was born at Machpelah. He was a twin. His twin brother was, as you know, Esau, Jacob and Esau. And there we see they were different, were they not? Jacob, a favorite of his mother, Rebekah. Esau, a favorite of his daddy, Isaac. First thing we learn, the life of Jacob. Favoritism in the family always leads to heartbreak. Favoritism in a family always leads to heartbreak. My three sons, all three of them will tell you they were Jobeth's favorite. Why do parents have favorites? It's deadly in the family, ladies and gentlemen. It is deadly in the family. It breaks, it destroys. It's because I think the father and mother were still in competition with one another. I want the affection of this one, and you want the affection of that one. They haven't become one. They weren't on the same page. They didn't have the same agenda. Listen, parents, it takes a lot of time to crawl in the hearts of your children, to understand them. If I had a chance to bring up my boys again, let me tell you, I would spend more time listening and less time lecturing. To get in the hearts of your kids, not to show favorites, to be equal in all of that. And when there's favoritism in a home, and you see it in the home of Abraham, the home of Isaac, the home of Jacob, they had favorites. And that was part of the reason for the disaster you see in this whole patriarchal tree. Favorites. And look how Jacob lives up to his name. Slick. Slick. You want to buy a nickname? Slick. How do they get that name? Could it be because they are slick? Jacob. Slick. Young man. He wanted to have the inheritance. He was not firstborn. Esau was firstborn. He was secondborn. The inheritance would go to his brother unless something happened. Esau's out hunting. Redneck. Good old boy. Hunting, fishing, outdoorsman. Rough. Man, that's the way I am. He comes home. He's starving. Thirsty. He sees his brother cooked a bowl of pottage. Beef stew. And he says, brother, give me some of that stew. I'm starving to death. And then Jacob, the cool operator, seizes on the moment of hunger and extremity of his brother and takes advantage of it. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you this whole bowl if you'll sell me your birthright, your inheritance, all the stuff you're going to get when our old man dies, if you'll sell me. Esau says, hey, if I'm starved to death, all that won't do me any good anyway. So he sold him his birthright. Jacob, slick, living up to his name. Then he had all his birthright now. He wanted one other thing, and that was the blessing of his father. So we have the second kind of chicanery that comes in. And Rebekah, joins in with Jacob in order to get now the patriarchal blessing. It's one thing to get the inheritance. It's one thing to get the hands laid on you, and you get all the privileges of the family. And now Jacob wanted that. He had the inheritance. Now he wanted the privileges. And so Jacob arranged for his mother to dress him up in Esau's hunting outfit. with all the stench that goes with it, gentlemen, all the hunters. And he goes, and now Isaac is old, he's blind, he thinks he's going to die, he's ready to give that patriarchal blessing to his favorite son, Esau, but Jacob wants it. So mother takes Jake and they fix a bowl of pottage. Esau goes out to kill some game to feed his dad, and his dad says, I'm going to bless you, Esau, when you come back. But Jacob intercedes. He's dressed in hair like his brother. He smells like his brother. And his mother fixed that meal. And he goes in, and his dad says, who are you? He says, Jacob.
He says, I'm Esau.
You don't sound like Esau. Are you sure you're Esau?
Oh, yes, I'm Esau.
And he feels of his arms. And he says, you're ready to serve me the meal I asked for? How did you kill the game and prepare it so fast? And now Jacob, he brings in God. He said, the Lord, your God, helped me to do it. Isn't that something? He lied twice about who he was. Then he says, God helped me to get the game and prepare it for you. And so make a long story short, the blessing was laid upon Jacob. Quite an operator, isn't he? His mother was in on it. Let me tell you something, parents, when parents vie, compete with one another in the family, they undercut one another with children and others, how deadly that is to a marriage. How deadly that is. Favoritism is many times at the root of it. Now what happens? Jacob has to run for his life. Esau says, I'm going to kill you. And so Jacob takes off. Have you ever seen a more dirty, rotten scandal in your life? Man, he's a young guy. He's running. And he runs all the way. By the way, what do we learn at Beersheba from Jacob's life? What did we learn? Did you see it up there? We learned that favoritism in the family is always disastrous. But we're going to learn something else, because he heads off now. He ends up at a place called Bethel. Now, Jake is on the lam. He is running, but notice the principle here. When you run away from your sin, when I run away from my sin, we always run into God. The last place we want to be is with God when we're caught in our conscience in our sin. That's the reason a lot of people don't come to church, regardless of what they tell you. You know, that's where God is. Oh, man, the way I'm living, that's the last place I want to be. But you see, you can't run away from your sin, because when you do, you always run to God. We see that's exactly what happened to this con artist, Jacob. Look at it over there as he runs all the way to Bethel. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba. This is the 28th chapter. And went toward Haran, so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, put it on his head. He lay down for a place to sleep. I guess you would think, you know, here he is guilty. He's done all these sorry things to his brother. He's running for his life. Man, now he is trying to go to sleep. I guess he'd have a hard time sleeping, wouldn't he? You know, he'd got all this guilt. But look what happened. This is one of the amazing things in all the Bible right here. God comes to him. And he blesses him. He honors him. He tells him what a great life he's going to have. And he says, man, I've got great stuff. Here is this scum, this slick, who has conned his whole family in one way or another, and he's running for his own life, and he meets God, and look what God promises. It's wonderful. He says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your Isaac, and the God of Abraham of Isaac. He just lied to. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants, and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad the west, the east, the north, the south. Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. Will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid. and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now look at this. Get this in context. Here is Jacob afraid, running by himself, going out in another part of the country. It's night. He feels guilt, and God comes and says, here's stairs reaching all the way up to heaven. And at the top of those stairs is the Lord God himself. And right on the other side is the gate of heaven. He opens up heaven to Jacob and fills it up with all these promises of what God had built in his life and what he would accomplish and what he would do when he was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. My, the grace of God. My, the patience of God. My, the long, long view of life with God. How overwhelming this is to me.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. Romans 12:11. I once heard a teacher say he could stand behind the pulpit and preach in his sleep. Thank God that's not true for most preachers. But actually, any one of us can lose our fire and simply go through the motions spiritually of teaching or preaching or witnessing or living the Christian life. In my office, I have the Olympic torch that I was honored to carry in the 2002 Winter Games. Its inscription reads, "Light the fire within." Whenever we find ourselves going through the motions of our faith, we need to light the fire within us with prayer, God's word, and serving others. So ask God to fuel your desire to pray, to spend time in the Bible, and to impact others with service. Such a spiritual breakthrough will ignite your life and change your world. And let me tell you something, the fire of God will burn within you. Yes, 24/7.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word. We'd love to help you walk closely with Jesus each day this year by sending you this month's resource, the 1-Year Chronological Bible. This unique resource is designed to help you see with fresh eyes the sweeping story of God's love for you and His plans and purposes throughout history and in your own life. So call now to request the 1-Year Chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with proven truth on how God can redeem your mistakes and bless your home.
Double Eagle Sawmill in Cocoa asks listeners to support our troops serving far from home this holiday season. Send them the hope of the Christmas spirit and the joy of the new year with a military care package today. Simply search military care package on the web and deploy the joy this holiday season. That's from veteran-owned and operated Double Eagle Sawmill. They provide custom milled live edge slabs for unique mantles, tables, benches, and more. Call 321-631-2361 for Double Eagle Sawmill in Cocoa.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM.
Don't Christian let voice hub the bar. Way to heaven keep you from maximizing heaven's opportunity.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why it's more important than ever for Christ followers to be faithful.
This is not a time for weak-kneed Christians. This is a day to name the name of Jesus Christ.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When life becomes difficult, our faith will usually head one of two very different directions. Today, Dr. Evans takes us to Revelation 2:8 for help on staying strong even under stress. Let's join him.
John the Apostle writes to this second church, the church at Smyrna. He says, "The first and the last, the one who was dead and alive, says this." So I'm going to give the message, but Jesus is doing the talking. So if you get mad at what I'm getting ready to say, talk to Jesus, leave me alone. Because he just told him to say what he was saying. So in that little phrase, Jesus speaks of both his deity and his humanity. He's the first and the last, he's God, but he died, so he's man. He says, "I know your tribulation. I know your trouble. I know what you're going through. I know you're hurting right now." He says, "I am fully aware that you're going through it because I'm God, but I'm also fully aware of what it feels like because I'm man. If you feel like you're dying, I know what that feels like because I died. I've been through all of the categories of trouble that any human being has been through as man, even though I am simultaneously deity. I know your trouble. If you're hurting today, he's aware of it. If you're crying today, he's aware of it. If your world has been shaken today, he's aware of it. Not only because he's omniscient, God, but because he's human, man." And so he's got that dual reality of identification while transcending time and being involved in time. He says, "I know you got trouble. They worship Caesar as Lord." You had to recognize Caesar as God. Well, these Christians had another declaration: Jesus is Lord. That created a problem. Because once you rejected Caesar, you were now an enemy of the state. And as a result of that, there was confiscation of property. It says you are having trouble and you are poor. Now, it's bad enough to have trouble, but it's shown up bad when you have trouble and no money. So they were spiritually rich. That's why he says in the next phrase, "You are rich." You are rich because of your decision to be committed to me, even though it's costing you a price tag. Nothing happens to you that doesn't pass through his fingers first. Okay? It's called sovereignty. Nothing, in order for it to get to you, it's got to go through him, which means it has to have permission. Now, I'm not talking about suffering because of you doing evil. That's one kind of suffering. I'm talking about when you're trying to live for God, when you're trying to proclaim Christ, when you try, and it's still going south. It had to pass through his fingers first. Okay? One reason he does it is to humble us. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To humble us. In other words, he wants to deal with something in our character that we either actually or potentially are headed toward. So he allows something in our lives. Paul says, God allowed a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. A thorn is something that pricks you, that irritates you. He calls it a messenger. He had a person in his life who was driving him nuts, an irritation. And he says, "I prayed to God to get rid of it. three times. And God says, I will not get rid of the irritation that I allowed the devil to put in your life. And the reason I'm not going to allow it is to humble you so that you don't think more of yourself than you ought to think. And he says, my grace will be sufficient, and in your weakness, I'm going to make you strong. Another reason he lets us, when we're seeking to live for him, is to use us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, in our affliction, we're going through stuff. We're trying to serve God, love God, please God, walk with God, and we are underneath affliction, suffering. He says, God met us in our affliction, watch this, so that we would now be able to comfort others who are in the same affliction. So God lets you go through stuff, even though you're trying to please him and are publicly associated with him, because he has somebody else down the line who's going to be going through what you are now going through. And he doesn't just want you to quote Bible verses. He doesn't just want to say, I'm going to pray for you. He wants you to feel what they feel and emote where they emote, and because you've been where they've been. And he wants to use you experientially. Isn't it irritating? Somebody trying to help you that don't know what you're talking about? Because they've never been there. He says, I want to use the comfort I give you in what I allowed you to go through. He does it for another reason, to grow us. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, the testings of your faith is to develop you. He wants to take you to another level. So there is purpose in the pain if you're seeking to live for him publicly. I ain't talking about privately. I ain't talking about in church. I'm talking about declaring out there, Jesus is Lord. That he will allow people to come against you, people to reject you, people to talk about you as sure as you're born. He will allow that people to scheme against you. He will allow people to politic against you. He will allow somebody else to get that promotion that you've been working hard, because he has a reason. Oh, here's one. To deepen his reality in your life. Watch this. It's called in Philippians 3:10, the fellowship of his suffering. Fellowship means increased intimacy. He said, you know what? When you are hurting, getting intimate with the doctor, that's what you're looking for. You don't just want to know your doctor's name. You don't just want to know his telephone number. Oh, you want a little hookup with your doctor because you're in pain. When you're fine, you may not call doc. But when the pain won't go away long enough, deep enough, oh, you're going to get him on the phone. You're going to rearrange your schedule. You're going to make sure there's a hookup with the doctor, because it's hurting so bad, you need somebody who can meet you where you are. God knows if it's only blessing, he ain't going to get your undivided attention. If it's only blessing, you may not pick up the phone. If it's only blessing, you may not get desperate enough. So he brings you to the fellowship of his suffering. He lets you feel what it feels like to be him when he was going through, when you're going through, because he knows you're going to snuggle up a little closer. You're going to spend a little bit more time in prayer. You're going to meet him longer in the word when it's hurting bad enough that you need him. And so he does that to deepen the intimacy with his people. He says, I know what you're going through. I know you're struggling right now. But he says, it's even worse than that. I know, verse 9, the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Oh, wait a minute. He started with the secular world. Now he says, you get in trouble from the religious world. Synagogue, that's a place of worship. These were the Jews who rejected Christ, who were now persecuting the Christians. These are church folk who reject you because you've taken your stand for Jesus Christ. Because just because they're in church don't mean they're right. Just because they in church carrying a Bible under their arm, because these Jews were carrying the Old Testament, just because they carrying a Bible under their arm doesn't mean they committed. Just because they saying amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, standing up, sitting down, clapping their hands, that don't mean a thing if Jesus is not Lord. In fact, he said, you got a church full of devils. There is resistance from the synagogue of Satan. The religious folk were against them. Because I want to tell you now, if you take your stand for Jesus Christ, church folk will say you're a fanatic. Church folk will say you're being too serious about this. Church folk will start calling you Rev. Church folk will do that and become your persecutors because you're taking your stand for God. I know what you're going through because you've become, you've served notice that your allegiance is to me first. It's public, it's not hidden. It's like the political campaigns, it's a placard. It's been put on notice, it's advertised. And you are paying a price for it. There's a cost to it. He goes on to say, oh, I like this. Do not fear. Don't be afraid because you will undergo some trouble for 10 days. In other words, I got my hand on the clock. I'm going to allow it, but I'm also going to determine when it's going to end.
Dr. Evans will return in a moment with more on God's perfect timing. But first, for a look at practical steps you can take to stay strong when your faith is tested, check out Tony's Jesus Challenge study package. It starts with all 8 lessons in our current series, focusing on how to develop stronger faith, healthier priorities, increased commitment, unshakable faithfulness, transparent authenticity, and more. You'll get instant access to the digital downloads, followed up with 8 full-length CDs. Tony's Living as an Overcomer book, his in-depth workbook you can use during your personal study time, plus a special Bible study DVD packed with exclusive teaching segments by Tony. And here's the best part. For a limited time, we're making this entire package available as our gift in appreciation for your contribution to support the ministry of The Alternative. And if you contact us right away to take advantage of this offer before time runs out, we'll add an extra bonus. The 4-part In Pursuit of Godliness message collection from Dr. Evans, available via downloadable MP3s. Visit us at tonyevans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are standing by around the clock to help with your request. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans is back now with more of today's message.
Come on, you ladies know what it is to use a timer. You use a timer to tell you when the meat is ready. You use a timer to tell you when stuff is done. And if the bell goes off and it's not done, you're going to put it back in the oven because it ain't ready yet, okay? See, sometimes we going through stuff because we ain't done. Now, we're still not confessing Christ. We're still not living for Christ. But we want to say, get me out of here. Well, God said, well, the bell rung, but you ain't ready. You raw all on the inside. You ain't done. God says, I control the clock. That's why you don't have to be afraid. I got this clock. And Satan is on a leash. And I done given him 10 days to do his stuff for me to do in you what I want you to do. But at 10 days, I'm jerking that sucker back. Because he's not just the devil, he's my devil. And I use him as I please. If you don't believe me, ask Job. He's my devil. I tell him how far he can go and how far he can't go and how long he can stay there. Because I am the sovereign God and I am in charge. So you make sure you are identified with me. This is not a time for weak-kneed Christians. This is not a day for silly saints. This is a day for men and women who name the name of Jesus Christ to name the name of Jesus Christ. And do not fear, he said. Oh, Moses was afraid. God said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses, you got to be kidding. Them people are going to kill me. In fact, when I go over there, I'm going to tell you what they're going to ask me. They're going to ask me, who sent you? Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are? Who sent you and made you boss? He says, you tell them when they ask you that dumb question, I am that I am sent you. And the reason I'm going to tell you to tell them I am that I am sent you is because I am going to be whatever you need when the time comes. I'm going to be your sovereign, self-sufficient, eternal support. See, here's the deal. If you're going to go through down times, suffering times, tribulation times for following Christ, the key thing you're going to need to know is he's there. See, that's the key thing. Even if the circumstance hasn't changed, you need to know he's in the vicinity. You need to know that Mr. Rogers is in the neighborhood. You need to know that God is right there when you're going through it. And if you do, I will give you, verse 10 says, the crown of life. I'm going to give you the crown of life. And he closes by saying, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then he speaks to you as an individual. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. That is a curious phrase. He who overcomes. What does he mean by overcoming? He who overcomes the temptation to abandon your confession during tough times. He who overcomes the temptation to walk away because things have gotten rough because of your faith. The overcomers will not be hurt by the second death. Now, the reason why that's a curious phrase is that the second death refers to hell. The Bible says hell is cast into the lake of fire, and that is the second death. So that's hell. But wait a minute. He's talking to Christians here. These are believers who are suffering. So they're not going to hell. They're going to heaven. So why would he tell believers, if you are an overcomer, not just a Christian, but you overcome the temptation of not being faithful in the midst of tribulation, you will not be hurt by something that has absolutely nothing to do with you, because the second death is hell and that's not where you're going. So it's an irrelevant topic. Don't let folk who are not on their way to heaven keep you from getting all that heaven has for you, because you were more committed to them who can do nothing for you ultimately than you were committed to me. Don't let the second death, hell-bound folk, keep you from maximizing heaven's opportunity. Don't let those sinners mess you up. Don't let those sinners take away your reward. Don't let those sinners destroy your fellowship with me. Don't let folk who are going down keep you from maximizing going up. Don't let them do that. Your commitment must be to me. And when you fail, dust off, confess, repent, get up, and go on the road to faithfulness. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. And if we are not developing those kinds of Christians as a church, we failed. Because our job isn't to have church. Our job is to create disciples who are not ashamed to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. We're in a political correct environment now where you can't bring up this and you can't bring up that. Of course, you can cuss like a sailor if you want. You can talk about women like a dog if you want. You can be insulting to the faith if you won't, but bring up Jesus and you in trouble. Well, I'm just going to have to be in trouble because I'm bringing up Jesus. Like Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. You do it lovingly, you do it appropriately, you do it wisely, but you do it clearly. So you don't quit. If you're going through a tough time and you're living for Christ, if you're not living for Christ, that's a whole different story. That's getting right. But if you have made the decision, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back, you've made it known. Everybody understands that that's who you are. If you were accused of being a Christian at work, there would be enough evidence to convict you. Because you come through that way, you live that way, you make your decisions that way. because that's who you are, and that's your normal modus operandi. None of us is perfect, but that's your normal modus operandi. And you keep going. God's got the clock. He knows how many days. He's got a purpose in the pain. You keep going.
Perhaps you've not yet made that decision to follow Jesus, but now you're ready. If that's you, visit TonyEvans.org today and follow the link that says Jesus. There, Dr. Evans will explain everything you need to know about being a real Christian and how to start your brand new life. That's TonyEvans.org, where you can get the latest on Tony's ministry and resources and sign up for his free email devotional. Also, while you're there, don't forget to take advantage of our current giant offer, the Living as an Overcomer book, workbook, and Bible study DVD, plus all 8 full-length audio messages from the Jesus Challenge series, digitally and or on CDs, as well as the bonus downloadable audio messages from Tony's In Pursuit of Godliness teaching series. This powerful, life-changing package of resources is yours with our thanks when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station by supporting his ministry with your donation. This is a limited-time offer, so don't wait. Visit us today at TonyEvans.org to make your request, or call us at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222 or online at TonyEvans.org. And while you're there, look for the details on joining Dr. Evans and other listeners on a revitalizing and uplifting cruise to the Mexican Riviera this coming November. Witnesses view events from different angles, and although their personal perspective is relative, reality never is. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans shows us how to resist the world's efforts to redefine the reality of God's Word, as he takes a look at the consequences of treating truth like nothing more than a matter of opinion. Right now, he's back with his final illustration for the day.
You remember in closing the story of the little girl who was in the shopping cart with her mother. She said, as the mother went down the cookie aisle, "Mama, please for chocolate chip cookie." Mother said, "You had too many sweets today, no chocolate chip cookie." Mother going down another aisle, she said, "Mama, I really want some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "I told you, you've had too many sweets today. I'm not getting you any chocolate chip cookie." Mother going down another aisle. She said, "But Mama, I need some chocolate chip cookies. I told you, I'm not giving you any chocolate chip cookie." Mother gets in the checkout line. The little girl stands up, folds her hand, looks up to heaven. "Jesus, they taught me in Sunday school last week, if I called on you, you meet all my needs. And I need some chocolate chip cookies." The ladies in back of the mother said, "Why won't that woman get that girl some chocolate chip cookies?" The mother got real embarrassed, went and got a whole bunch of chocolate chip cookies, put it in the cart. Little girl stood up and said, "Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer." There may be somebody here today and you're in the checkout line. You want to quit, you want to throw in the towel, it's too tough, you know, you're too embarrassed to name the name of Jesus Christ. Before you check out, check up, because when God comes through for you, when God, even if it's letting you know he's there, you will discover that greater is he that's in you in the fire than he that's in the world.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your utmost satisfaction. They bring passion and proficiency to every project with a commitment to impeccable service. Treasure Your Landscape, available at 321-749-1432. They are a comprehensive hub for all outdoor space enhancement needs. Their services include the installation of premium artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens, meticulous landscaping services, and expert paver installation. They can transform your outdoor areas into a space your family will treasure. Treasure Your Landscape, 321-749-1432, is a proud corporate sponsor of the radio ministries of WMIE. Gray's Bible Sanctuary invites you to the 2024 Polemic Conference, January 19th through the 21st at Grace Bible Sanctuary. Now, Grace Bible Sanctuary is located at 726 James Circle Northeast in Palm Bay. The 2024 theme is the Bible and human genders. The speaker is Pastor Don Green. Don is the founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. For years, Don has served as managing director of Grace to You, that is John MacArthur's radio and television ministry. Don is the featured speaker on the Truth Pulpit radio ministry. Remember, the date is January 19th through the 21st. The theme, the Bible and human genders. The place, Grace Bible Sanctuary, 726 James Circle Northeast in Palm Bay. For more information on this conference, you can register online at gracebiblesanctuary.com or by contacting the church at 321-728-4136. Once again, Grace Bible Sanctuary's 2024 Polemic Conference with Pastor Don Green as the speaker. Register online at gracebiblesanctuary.com or 321-728-4136.